Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. Thank you so much for praying with me. I want to invite you to send your petitions to my producer, Maggie. She is on the other side of the glass, and she'll be taking them on Twitter. You can send her a post at Drew Mariani Show. And, of course, you can try to get into the studio here with me. My phone lines fill up very quickly if you want to get your intention on the air and have everyone pray for them. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I want to start off today by asking you to pray for a friend of mine. He called me a little bit earlier today. I was sharing a few moments ago. He's probably one of my oldest friends. I actually went to grade school with him. And we played baseball together. We went to high school together. And, you know, he's been a lifelong friend. He's really good at staying in touch. So often, you know, you fall out of touch with the people that you grew up with. And I don't want to disclose too much in case other people who know him are listening. But he asked for special prayers, especially for his relationship and for his family. And just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I promised I would. I did at Mass today. And I'm going to pray for you now. I believe so much in the power of this prayer. I mean, God hears this prayer. God hears this prayer. And graces flow. And things change. You know, obstacles are removed. Relationships are mended. Healing unfurls. Providence and blessing comes upon those who pray with trust and who really believe. You know, the Lord said, ask and you shall receive. Why don't we believe that, right? Ask the Lord. Ask. 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 Ask and you shall receive. So simple, right? To me, it is. Pray with a childlike faith and ask the Lord to hear that prayer and to grant you what you want. If it's for your good, if it's according to God's will, that prayer will be answered, I promise. I know that the Lord wants marriages reconciled. I know he wants your drug-addicted kid free from those addictions. I know he wants, you know, reconciliation. He wants healing. So ask the Lord today. We'll pray together. My producer, Maggie, is here with me. And Maggie, I know we've got a lot to share in the third decade, which will be coming up. A lot of intentions that you're being tweeted at right now and sent to you on YouTube and Facebook. But what else can we pray for? What else is on your docket?
This came in a couple of weeks ago and kind of got lost in the shuffle. We received a letter from a listener in Minnesota. It says, here in Minnesota, Representative Angie Craig is introducing a bill to defund pro-life crisis pregnancy centers. She claims that they mislead women, and obviously abortion clinics don't. I would like you to have your listeners please call Craig and tell her pro-life offices offer loving help to women and their babies. And she asked that we pray for this as well. She says this is happening all over the U.S. She's not wrong.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so I don't know if there's a number or whatever's there. We can, you know.
I guess you'd have to look up.
Yeah, I guess you'll look it up. I don't know if she said it.
Representative Angie Craig from Minnesota.
All right, there you go. And do your part. Above all, let's pray. Let's pray for conversion of hearts. Let me share a quick answered prayer. This came in the other day. Yesterday, the person said, I prayed with you at the 3 p.m. hour, and I offered this for two different men. When we were praying the chaplet, I didn't know that one of them was in his last hour. Well, it ends up that my daughter was rushing the family to the hospital, and we finished praying the chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3:30. He passed peacefully moments later. What a gift, right? What an answered prayer. You know, the Lord hears this prayer in a particular way for those who are dying, and he promised that souls in that hour need these prayers, and they lack trust the most, and these prayers can make a profound impact on their eternal destination. So let's always pray for the sick and for the dying. Quick intention here, too. This person said, you pray for a friend of mine who's being evicted from her home unless she pays her rent this Friday. Her company dissolved her per diem position. She cannot work a full-time job due to Social Security requirements. She asked them to please keep her per diem position until March the 23rd, but they can't per their company guidelines. So she is fully retired now and can work, but she doesn't have a job and she needs the money now. She's desperate. So I said she's going to be evicted. Could you ask everybody to please pray that somehow God works this out and in time? We'll do that right now. One other one. Hey, Drew, Maggie, the Divine Mercy Prayer Family This is Dustin in California. Would you pray for my brother? He's being charged with attempted murder with a weapon, which happened while, you know, he says, possessed by a demon. Pray everything goes well for him and much needed healing and conversion for my brother. We will pray for him and all those facing legal challenges. And let's pray for you right now. There's a lot of other intentions that have come in here as well. And you're prayed for. If you write to us, you know, even though you don't get voiced, we do pray for you. We remember every intention that comes in. And please send me your answered prayers. I want to share more of them. I have more here to share with you. You can do that simply emailing me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer, and I'll make sure that I share it at some point in the future. But let's pray right now, okay? We'll pray for you, and we'll pray for those answered prayers that you're seeking. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to San Antonio next. Lydia is praying with us there in Texas. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Maggie. I want to pray, please, and help me praying for my good health to come back. I've been in bed for the last 3 weeks. And also for my husband and my 3 children to come back to the Catholic Church to get closer to God and protection for them. And lastly, for this new job that my husband has been waiting to hear today, he should hear from it. And if it's God's will for it to be it, thank you so much. And God bless you all.
You got it. Lydia, offer up that suffering you're going through, right? United to that of the Lord on the cross. Pray for your husband that he gets that new job. Lord, I ask for blessings on this woman. I ask that you alleviate and you give reprieve to her for her suffering. I do pray for all those who are suffering chronic pain or in any way right now, Lord, not well. And I just trust them to your healing touch. Lord, you came and you healed and you exorcised demons. And I just pray as you did that in the Gospels today that you do that in the life of so many who are praying. I pray for those looking for work, seeking new jobs, better employment, those who are struggling financially. And Lord, that can be a heavy cross to carry. So I just ask for your mercy there as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to our next call. I hope I get this name right. Patrick, can you let me know how to say that name again, if you don't mind? Memony. All right, Memony is calling from Anaheim, California. Memony, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Drew and Maggie, baby. Good afternoon. I want to pray for my husband, Robert, who is suffering from high blood pressure, and for all the broken marriages. And I hope we could see you in Indianapolis this summer.
Love that. It'd be great to see you. Make sure you stop by and say hello. Let's pray right now for you, though, right? We'll pray for your husband with high blood pressure. But in a particular way, I want to pray for marriages. For those that are strong and healthy, that they can be witnesses and examples and light and grow stronger to others so that we can see the beauty of that sacrament. But I pray for those who are having trouble in their marriages, where there's misunderstanding, where there is infidelity, where there is abuse. Lord, I just ask that you heal those broken bridges, that you rekindle the fire, that love in those relationships. I pray for the conversion of those spouses and the removal of whatever obstacle may be taking place right now. And I thank you for hearing this prayer. I know you are. I know you hear this prayer now. So I just turn to you with trust as I bring those to the pool of your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to Sharon, who is in Michigan, Upper Peninsula there, let me go to Maggie, who is with us here in studio. And Maggie, I'm going to just ask everyone to pray for a very simple little intention I have. It's almost selfish, but I'm asking God for a particular blessing, and I figure, why not, right? You ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door will be open, right? Seek, and you'll find. The Lord says, the more a soul trusts, the more it receives, and the Lord desires to give to us generously. That's the nature of God. So I'm asking him for something that's not great. You know, it's not super serious. Just I'm asking him for a particular blessing. So I'll let you know when it happens. I'm waiting on it. All right. So what can we pray for? What else is coming in here, too?
Well, and we had prayed the other day for a man in my hometown, Mr. Joe Tomey, who was a great farmer, a great man, a great father. All my brothers and I went to school with his kids, and there was an accident with a well drilling on his property that he fell down. My mom sent me his obituary. He had passed. And so I wanted to read just a couple lines from it. It was so beautiful. It says, Joe and Diane took over his father's farm after they married and farmed his entire life. He would often say, I've never worked a day in my life because I do what I love. Mm. They expanded the farm in 2002 and took pride that the next generations will carry on this passion for farming. They're a beautiful family, and I just want to pray for their comfort and for his soul.
I love that, though. Isn't that true, though?
Oh, totally.
When you are doing something that you love, it's not a chore. It's not a burden. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a four-letter word like work, but it's joy. You know, it's awesome. So if you can find the lane God called you to, and clearly that was his.
Yeah.
But boy, what a strange death, though. How tragic for the family.
He was 62. He was young and healthy, and
you and I talked about that. 62 years old. My gosh, it's too young.
Such a tragedy. Well, God called him home.
Amen.
Jeff in Green Bay is praying for Stephen, who's 26 and has an unusual tumor around his heart and aorta that's requiring specialized surgery, and has the potential of being fatal. They need miracle prayers. They're very stressed. Cindy in Michigan is praying for Tom, who was T-boned in February by a car on while he was on his snowmobile. He got some serious injuries. She says that at this point, PT comes to the house and he experiences terrible nerve pain. They have an appointment with his orthopedic surgeon coming up, so they're just praying for healing for him. Rebecca wrote to us on X. She says, please pray for my daughter, Gianna, who is very sick and having a hard time breathing at times. Also for safe travels for my family traveling in a car on vacation, and for you, Drew and Maggie.
Thank you.
And our friend Mac on X shared a Vatican News post with us earlier that armed bandits stormed a Catholic orphanage in Port-au-Prince and abducted three religious sisters of the St. Joseph de Cluny congregation.
Wow.
So let's pray for them and their safety and their safe return.
All right, let's pray for those intentions. And we'll add Sharon from Stevenson, Michigan to the mix. Hi, Steve. Hi, Sharon. Good afternoon.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I've been praying so hard. I have a grandson in his 20s that was brought up by a beautiful Catholic family, went to 12 years of CCD, but now for some reason he says he doesn't believe in God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get married this summer, and I was hoping that he would get back to his faith. I wrote to him a letter, and somehow praying so hard that he will accept God again. And then I'd also like to pray for, I have high anxiety that I would like to diminish. So,
How old is your grandson?
In 22, I believe he is.
All right. Well, look, you keep praying for him. I want to pray for your anxiety too, Sharon. But I'll tell you what, this is one of those prayers that I always believe that God answers, you know, that he hears and that he answers, that prayer of conversion. You know, our time is not God's time. That's the problem, you know? So we'll have to put this in the hands of the Lord and just do our part to keep praying. You know, Lord told St. Faustina, he says, I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. He says, you'll understand this when you meditate upon my passion. And he says, call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. I desire their salvation. And when you say this prayer, and I'm going to give you this prayer to pray, we pray it. When you say it with a contrite heart, when you say it with faith, he said, on behalf of some sinner, I will give that soul the grace of conversion. You know the prayer already. The Lord said, this is the prayer, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us. I trust in you. The Lord shared that to St. Faustina. It's in her diary entry 186, 187, somewhere in that area. Such a beautiful prayer. When you get overwhelmed, concerned about your loved one away from the faith, recite that over and over again for him and stand on the promise that the Lord gave. Lord, I pray for the conversion of all that we love, all those we love, and all those who are most in need of your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Elizabeth is in the Windy City. She's there in Chicago. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew and Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like you, the prayer warriors, to pray for my brother-in-law who's suffering from Alzheimer's for the last 6 years, and it has been very hard on the family and on him too.
All right, we'll lift him up right now. We'll pray for all those intentions that you have as well. I unite this prayer to all who are now crying out, Heavenly Father, with their needs, those with dementia, Alzheimer's, debilitating diseases, health problems, finances, relationships, you know, that cross us. And I just ask you hear these humble prayers, and in your mercy, You answer the cries of your children. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Churchville, Pennsylvania. It's the Philadelphia area. Hi, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Hello, Maggie. Thanks for taking my call. My prayer today is for a very dear friend of mine, Mike, who is undergoing emergency triple bypass surgery right now as we are on the phone. I'd like prayers for him, for a speedy and a full recovery, and also for his family. Thank you.
Kevin, thank you. I want to pray for you, too. I know you didn't ask for anything, but that's a critical prayer. And Lord, right now, you are the divine physician, and I ask that you be the hands of those surgeons. We ask for complete restoration of his health and a successful heart surgery. I pray for anyone suffering with heart coronary issues, anyone with broken hearts as well, Lord. Heal those emotional wounds. Bonnie is in Wausau, Wisconsin. We'll add her to the fifth decade as well. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Glad I could get my call through. I just received word that my older cousin is in the final stages of dying. She's been receiving palliative care at home, and she took a turn for the worse today, and so they expect death soon. So we'd just like to pray for her soul and pray for all of her friends and family.
Well, it was God's providence that you got through. I'm convinced of that. And I am so happy that you called. I'm so privileged, really, to pray for you right now. And Lord, I give you Bonnie. I give you those who will mourn and those who are mourning and those who've gone before us. But in particular, I pray for her cousin right now who you are calling home. And for all those approaching the threshold of eternity. The Lord said in Diary Entry 1777, he says, pray as much as you can for the dying. He says, your prayers will obtain for them trust in my mercy, because that's when they have the most need of it. So let's pray. We'll pray for all those they could choose. God, Satan wants to rob you of your eternity, and he certainly wants to do it in those last moments. He says to Faustina, he says, be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in that final moment depends on your prayer. So what a privilege right now it is to pray. Lord, we give you these needs. I pray for the hour of my own death and for those who now pray with me. We turn to you again in confidence as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
And Saints Perpetua and Felicity.
Pray for us.
Two great martyrs. Pray for us. And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hey, I hope you can hang out with me, because when I come back, you're definitely going to want to hear this. I'm going to share with you a fascinating bit of American history. I just learned about it. This just came across my radar this week. Few know that 310 years after that famous apparition, a series of apparitions in Guadalupe, Mexico, 310 years, Our Lady appeared again, this time in her own country, to Indians in what is present-day America. It happened in Montana to a little Indian boy, and it's a fascinating story. I'll share that with you and more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a great rejoin, Mag. Puts me in the mood. Oh, I love it. Listen to that. We're going to take you back in time. I'm going to tell you a fascinating bit of American history. Known to few. I mean, I just learned about this, thanks to a writer named Joseph Pronishin. Great writer. He writes for the Register. And he shared the story of an apparition of the Mother of God that took place just 3 centuries after the famous apparitions in 1531 in Guadalupe, Mexico. Our Lady apparently appeared in Montana to an Indian boy. And you got to remember how wild and rugged this frontier was. In 1859, of course, the Virgin Mary also appeared to a Belgian immigrant in a place called Champion, Wisconsin, right? And that's the only church-approved apparition in our country. But when I read his story, it made me think of another story, and I want to share it with you if I could before we talk about this other apparition, and I'll unfold that for you. I don't know if you ever heard about the legend of the Lady in Blue. This is a great story. It deals with a 17th century Spanish nun who appeared to members of a tribe in present-day Texas. And the only way we can explain this, it had to be the phenomena of bilocation. It had to be this phenomena of bilocation. The Vatican, investigated this event. It was 1602. There was a young girl named Maria Fernandez Cornell. She joined an order of the Immaculate Conception located in Spain. That was a community known for its blue habit. She took the name Mary of Jesus, or Maria de Jesus. And you might know her as Maria of Agreda. And she later led a very devout prayer life. And her spiritual wisdom was sought by kings. Popes. King Philip IV exchanged letters with her for about 20 years. But the thing I find most fascinating was what was reported about her. In 1620, and with God, anything's possible. I say it all the time. She was mystically transported to a tribe of Native Americans in the New World, and she converted them to the Catholic faith. Now, you're saying, come on, Drew. She was stuck in a convent. How could she do that? She never left her convent. Well, it didn't happen once. It wasn't a mass hallucination. It said that she encountered the Yomano Indians 500 times. And she instructed them on the fundamentals of the faith. She spoke to them in their own language. And supposedly, this vision of her, this bilocation, she carried rosaries from her cell and healed the sick. she won all these converts. So later, she also says, hey, contact the Franciscan missionaries for assistance, right? So the phenomenon was investigated by a priest who visited the area where these nuns were located. And he spoke to a lot of the local Franciscans who recounted how the tribe sought them out and told them, hey, a lady in blue taught us the Christian faith. And then the priest showed the natives the paintings of an older nun from the same community. They said, no, you know, they responded. The woman was wearing the same clothes, but, you know, that woman was much younger, and she came from the sky. And, of course, you know, this phenomenon was amazing. In 1655, Sister Maria, who had these visions of the Blessed Mother, recorded them in a book called The Mystical City of God. She was declared venerable by the church. Her body was found incorrupt several hundred years later when her casket was opened in the 20th century. It's an amazing story. But the other thing I found really cool about her story, and I don't have a whole lot of time to get into all the details of it, some of the affirmation for me that I thought was so cool, she was able to describe meeting a leader with one eye. So when the Franciscan missionaries went to the area, they also reporting this Yumano leader who had one good eye and one bad eye. She also described the way the people were dressed and the landscape where two rivers met. She described the flora in the region. I mean, it was unbelievable. There's no way she could have known all these details if it was not from God. But that's how God works, right? We can have bilocations. We can have apparitions. And that's what happened here in our country again a little bit later. Here, not only in 1859 to Sister Adele Bries, you know, but 310 years after the apparitions in Guadalupe. And it was here that Our Lady did something very similar to what we saw Maria of Agreed to do. She taught the faith. She appeared and ultimately let her presence be felt. I'm joined right now by Joseph Pronishin. He's going to tell the story. And if you want to join me, feel free to do that. He's a writer for the National Catholic Register, and he's published a number of other Catholic publications as well. But I always enjoy reading his writing, and it's great to have him with us today. Joe, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
You're welcome, Drew, and thank you very much for your compliment there. If I may, before I say this, two things I'd like to add quickly.
Sure,
on the story that you said about the lady in blue, which is something. Maria of Agreda wrote the Mystical City of God, yeah. And that was the favorite book of Blessed Solanus Casey.
Really?
And anybody who would come to him for advice, he would always recommend they read that book. And there's four volumes, and he would recommend them reading the first volume, and he didn't say read all four. He said read the first volume.
So, Joseph, stop on that point and explain to everybody what's in that book, because a lot of people are going to want to pick it up after they discover what she chronicled.
Oh, yes. It's the story of the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary that was revealed to her.
It's fascinating.
And she said that she was commanded by God to write this book, as it was revealed to her about the life of her Blessed Mother. So it took four volumes to go through, and it gives every little detail. Of course, you're going to find out more about Jesus and the saints and so on through there. And that's a wonderful book. I think Father Edward Looney right now is, I haven't checked it out, but he is doing a daily podcast on that.
Oh, wow.
I can't tell you where, I'm not sure, but he told me he was going to be doing all this year a daily podcast reading the book. He's going to read the book.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, I know Father Looney very much. I'll have to reach out to him and find out about it, but that's a great suggestion. I know you write a lot about apparitions and a lot of these other events. And like I said, I appreciate your writing. You probably knew all about Agreda and her bilocations. But I'll tell you what, I thought I was plugged into a lot of these apparitions. I knew nothing about this Indian boy in Montana that the Virgin appeared to. Fill everyone in. I mean, and by the way, thanks for sharing that story. It's another bit of American history that I never knew.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, and I was surprised when I ran across it. And in fact, it ran across a little booklet I was given that was written by Father Pierre Desmet. And obviously, he's a big name in the conversion of the West there. And he himself questioned the Indians. He himself was evangelizing the tribes there. And he wrote down, you know, exactly what happened. But it was a Christmas Eve in 1841, And there was the Salish Indians there had welcomed the missionaries. They had wanted them there, and they wanted to learn about Jesus. They wanted to convert. They were very much taken by the black robes that came in, as they called them. And seeing that Father De Smet was the head of the black robes, they gave him extra, you know, a welcome there. They wanted to, in fact, they heard that the Iroquois had adopted him into their tribe. So that was, you know, another feather, in, so to speak, feather in his cap. On that Christmas Eve, which happened to be St. Mary's by missionaries, there was a little Indian boy named Paul. He wanted to be baptized, but he couldn't learn his prayers. He couldn't learn his catechism. He was, you know, a very, very slow learner. As hard as he tried, he was just unable to do that. And later, Father De Smet said that one of the priests that was trying to help him said he was just beyond that. He just, you know, couldn't remember anything, no matter how hard he tried. And his mother told them they were going to have baptism at Christmas Day. There were going to be dozens of Indians to be baptized that particular day. And his mother told him, you don't know your prayers. You don't know that how you can be baptized. And this was Christmas Eve. So he says he's going to try one more time. And he went to the hut of his friend, an Indian named John. But when he opened the tent, that wasn't his friend, but there was a woman, he said, who was standing a few feet above the ground. And he didn't know at the moment it was the Blessed Virgin Mary, but that's who appeared to him at that point. Apparently, you know, she knew how great in his heart he wanted to be baptized, and she was going to make sure that it was going to happen. He identified her as having a star over her head. And she was standing on a globe, and there was a serpent under her feet and a piece of fruit, which he couldn't recognize. You know, obviously, it must have been an apple, as we would think of. And then all of a sudden, he had these rays. He saw these rays of light burst forth from her. They reached him, enveloped him. And he wasn't afraid at all about this, but his mind became very clear. And all at once, he knew everything. He knew his catechism. He knew his prayers. And it was infused knowledge. So it was just amazing. So he went home and told his mother, told his little sister, when she started saying prayers wrong, he corrected her. And everybody was just amazed. Wow. And Father De Smet details all this in his book, which is called actually, it's booklet. It's a small book called Origin, Progress, and Prospects of the Catholic Mission. And he was just amazed himself by by what had happened on that Christmas Eve. Naturally, the boy was baptized the next day, but he said, the Great Spirit took pity on me. I try to learn my prayers. I have been able to do so. And then when he was going to try again, you know, the Blessed Mother herself came and
I love it.
And helped him.
Joseph, hold the thought. I have to take a quick break. We'll continue the story right after this short pause as well. If you want to join us, the number is 888-914-9149. Taking a look at an unknown apparition, one that took place in Montana to a young Indian boy. You're hearing part of the story. You'll hear what happened next right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Santi, who's listening in Maine, for donating his 1983 Jaguar XJ6. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. If you are just getting plugged in, we're telling a fascinating bit of American history that I think few know about. I just discovered this. It took place in the heart of Montana's Bitterroot Valley on a Christmas Eve like no other in 1841. A miraculous event unfolded that intertwined the divine, with the Earthly. And you got to go back to 1841. You got to remember Montana was not a state yet. The Salish Indians lived there, and the missionaries were trying to bring them to Christ. And about 310 years after the apparition in Guadalupe, heaven in its great mercy sent the Mother of God once again, as we saw with the Aztec people, came to the Native Americans here on a night where the air was crisp and the star above the valley was twinkling, and a little 11-year-old boy known as Little Paul was wrestling in his heart with the desire to embrace the Catholic faith. He wanted to be baptized. He wanted to become a Catholic, and yet he could not remember his prayers. The catechism eluded him. Then in a moment of divine intervention, our Blessed Mother, she appears to this young little native boy, and something miraculous happened. He was given an infusion of knowledge, and her presence was radiant and majestic, and it filled his heart with warmth and his mind with clarity. And he went back to the all of everyone, saying, hey, I know these prayers. I know this faith. I'm joined today by the man who introduced me to the story. It's great to have Joseph Pronishin with me today. And Joseph, thank you for writing about this. Thank you for bringing it to the attention of so many people. He comes back with this infused knowledge. What happened next?
Well, what happened next is that Father de Smet, the well-known missionary, Jesuit missionary, questioned him. And I think it's important that I give you Father de Smet's exact words over here. And he says, I showed him an image of an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Paul. He recognized her immediately, but with this difference. He saw her only with one star, with her hands joined before her breast and with her heart visible. That's interesting, Immaculate Heart there, right? The circumstances of the single star coincided singularly with the festival of Christmas, and that's unquote. And interestingly enough, it was a picture of the Immaculate Conception was showing him, okay? And then he quotes again, he says, the candor, simplicity, piety of the child, the perfect consistency of his answers to all the questions put to him, and above all, the fact that he had hitherto been unable to learn his prayers, that all of a sudden he was formed to know them perfectly, plainly show that our Blessed Lady had really favored this poor child in this extraordinary manner, unquote. And, you know, it's and obviously he was one of the members of the tribe who was on Christmas Day baptized, and there was 150 of them, and Father de Smet baptized little Paul himself. You know, it's just an amazing story over here. He only lived about 2 years after that, but there was, you know, they considered him an angel of the tribe, and from that point on, the miracle actually led not only to the tribe believing him, but later on, the Pierce-Nez Indians, who were also in that area, when they learned about it, they came and questioned little Paul. They were very friendly to the missionaries, and they all wound up, the whole tribe wound up converting because they believed him so intensely.
Wow. You know?
And so it was amazing. It was if you want to say, he was a missionary himself by that vision that he saw. And then on the pretty close to the site, the St. Mary's Mission Parish became the first church in the Northwest Territories. It was built on that spot, and that spot, by the way, for listeners to know, it's about 145 miles directly west of Helena, the capital of Montana. So it's out in a pretty rugged country and all, and there's a couple of right close to it, there's a big national forest and so on. So it's still that. So I don't know how many people they actually get to there, but although they do in the summertime, I talked to the woman who runs the shrine now and who's connected with that, which is part of the parish church. And she says the Indians still come to church. They're parishioners there, the Indians that live in the area. And this it does draw visitors who are, you know, trekking through Montana for one reason or another. They always go out of the way and they make a stop at the shrine. So she says it's it still draws people, which is wonderful, as it should. You know,
I love it. I love the story, and I love the way God can work. I mean, we see the series of apparitions from Guadalupe, which brought about the massive conversion of a culture of death in the Aztec Indians, to our own country, where you have Maria Margarita supposedly bilocating. We have these particular apparitions as well. And everyone's a little bit different, whether it's another God appearing or a bilocation or even this other mystical gift of infused knowledge. I think of Alphonse Ratisbonne, who also had the faith just totally. He was he a Satanist? What was his backstory? Do you know that one? Or maybe he was just an absolute atheist.
I know a little bit of it. So, and where his friend, it was a miraculous medal.
Yep.
Yeah, his friend challenged them to wear the miraculous medal for 30 days. And Ratisbonne did. And during that time, his friend told him to meet him in one of the churches there. I don't remember the exact name of the church now. I think it was one of the cathedrals there.
Our Lady of the Rosary, I think, in Pompeii.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yep. When he got there, his friend wasn't there, so he decided to look around and poke around here and there. And when he came in front of a statue of the Blessed Mother, all of a sudden he got this incredible infused knowledge, and he became a Catholic.
Yeah,
awesome. He said he couldn't disbelieve anymore. He became a Catholic, and he became a priest.
I love it. Then we have, of course, 1859. All these apparitions taking place. Of course, Lourdes was, 1854? So with the Immaculate Conception, we have Adele Bryce here in our own country having apparitions where Our Lady comes as the Queen of Heaven. And we know the fruit of that. It's the only church-approved apparition that we have in the country. I mean, God really is working in a powerful way. I was talking to you off air, and I really want you to look. I'm going to get you connected, Joseph, to the story of Father Samuel Mazzuchelli, an early pioneer to the country here, who was brilliant in terms of establishing churches, and he was gifted with architecture, and he dealt with all sorts. He traveled all over the country in a very wild frontier. He was a man of great penance, and he had an apparition of the Mother of God. He wore a penance chain, and today there are reports of great miracles coming through his intercession. He's now venerable. I know the Bishop of Madison's a big advocate of his, so I'll get you connected. But if people want to reach your writing, what's the best way to do that? What's the best way to get connected to your stories and to follow what you do?
Oh, what you can do is, if you don't get the print edition, which they'll give you 6 copies for free, you can get that on our website. But go directly to the website, which is very simple. It's NC Register. So it's N as a national, C as in Catholic, Register, ncregister.com. And you'll find me there. And if I'm not directly on there, just put my name in the search on top, and the old articles pop up.
Hey, Joseph, keep writing, okay? I appreciate it.
Thank you. I really do.
Appreciate what you do there. We'll connect again, I hope, okay?
We'll look forward to that, Drew. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you and your wonderful work there.
God bless you. That's Joseph Pronotion, and you can check him out at the Register. And check out his writing. Check out the story. In fact, we'll link over to it. Maggie, maybe we could do that. We can link over to... all right, Maggie's way ahead of me. She says it's already posted. So if you want to go to our Twitter page or our X account, I should say, or to Facebook, you'll find it there. You can read about this Indian. When I come back, stay with me. I'm going to change gears. If you are in a dysfunctional relationship, if there is abuse in your marriage, turn up the radio. Here's a question for you. We'll explore it. Is it okay as a Christian woman to leave abuse? Oh, go away.